You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, January 24th, 2023. Everything's gonna be all right. Colorado E&Ps learn to deal with state's tougher rules. Published by Housley Carr. New, stiffer rules on well siting, drilling, and production undoubtedly pose potential challenges to producers. After all, these changes typically impose further limits on what E&Ps can do on the acreage they control, as well as new requirements. But like death and taxes, environmental regulation is a certainty that producers need to deal with, and, if they're lucky, they can find a way to work with new rules and minimize their impact on their businesses. That seems to be what's happening in Colorado, home to the rebounding Denver-Julesburg, or DJ, basin and other production areas, which enacted a new oil and gas permitting law a couple of years ago and subsequently developed and implemented related regulations. As we discuss in today's RBN blog, most producers seem to have figured out how to manage the new regs. Colorado isn't California and it isn't Texas, and our guess is that, generally speaking, Coloradans are happy with that. The state's got amazing mountains, crisp and clean air, awesome skiing and cool microbreweries, plus a strong economy, relatively low taxes, and great cities, towns, and rural areas to call home. It also seems to have found an acceptable middle ground on the regulation of the oil and gas industry. We first discussed the push to tighten Colorado's oil and gas regulations more than 4 years ago in Rocky Mountain High, a blog about production and infrastructure in the DJ and Powder River basins and concerns among E&Ps there regarding Proposition 112, a referendum on the ballot in Colorado in November 2018. Prop 112, which ultimately was defeated by a 55% to 45% margin, would have required that newly permitted wells on non-federal land be at least 2,500 feet, nearly a half a mile, from any occupied building, homes, schools, hospitals, etc., and from vulnerable areas such as parks, streams, and wetlands. The state's rules then called for only a 500-foot buffer between homes and wells and a 1,000-foot setback from high-occupancy structures such as schools and hospitals. While the rules would have applied only to non-federal land and to newly permitted wells, there is hardly any federal land within the DJ Basin. And a pre-election study determined that 78% of the surface area and 85% of the non-federal lands in Weld County, Colorado, the epicenter of DJ Basin production, would be off limits for new permits if the referendum was approved. Proponents of tighter oil and gas regs regrouped, and in 2019, Colorado's then newly elected governor, Democrat Jared Polis, and the Democratic majorities in both houses of the state legislature enacted Senate Bill 19-181. The law, generally referred to as SB 181, forced a number of significant changes. Among other things, it 1. Changed the stated mission of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, or COGCC. Previously, the COGCC's aim was to foster the development of the state's oil and gas reserves to achieve the maximum efficient rate of production, while its current mandate is to regulate oil and gas development in a manner that protects public health and the environment. 2. Granted local governments the power to implement more stringent oil and gas regulations than the state, so long as that power was exercised in a reasonable manner and any local regulations implemented are necessary and reasonable. 3. Directed the COGCC to undertake rulemaking initiatives regarding commission hearing procedures, minimizing methane emissions and ending routine flaring, public disclosure of flowline locations, criteria for drilling site selection, including consideration of alternative locations, wellbore integrity, worker certification, and working with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, minimizing the cumulative impact of oil and gas development. Many of the rulemaking initiatives were completed and new rules put in place in 2020, but others weren't finished until the following year. Most important, the new regs include a 2,000-foot buffer between new wells and inhabited buildings, and a mandate to end routine flaring. Also, a number of counties and cities have implemented rules that are somewhat stricter than the COGCC's, but not Weld County, where, as we said, most of Colorado's oil and gas drilling and production has been occurring. Change is stressful, and, of course, the changes brought on by SB 181 were only part of what DJ Basin E&Ps have had to deal with in the past couple of years, like their counterparts in the Permian, Bakken, and Eagle Ford. They've also been rattled by the many effects of COVID, gyrating commodity prices, oil services-related inflation, and other ups and downs. but despite misgivings about the stricter regulations now in place in Colorado, a number of the largest players in the DJA have indicated that they have learned to deal with the new rules, and even acknowledged that they provide a degree of planning certainty after several years of not knowing what might happen next. Just last month, for example, PDC Energy, whose DJA wells produced an average of 219,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, 69,000 barrels per day of it crude oil, in Q3 2022, said the COGCC had approved the ENP's Guanella Comprehensive Area Plan, or CAP, which encompasses about 33,000 net acres and 450 planned wells in Weld County. In a statement, PDC said that with the approval, the producer now had clear line of sight into its turn-in-line activity well into 2028 at its current activity levels. PDC, whose 2023 drilling program in the DJA is already fully permitted, also said that it expected to continue an active oil and gas development plan, or OGDP, permitting process to maintain a multi-year inventory of projects across its 230,000 net acres in the basin. CAPs and OGDPs are, respectively, large-scale, long-term development plans and small-scale drilling plans that E&P submit to the COGCC under the Commission's new permitting process. The goals of the CAP approach are more multi-well sites, less land disturbance, and more protection for area residents and businesses. Back in August 2022, Occidental Petroleum, or Oxy, received COGCC approval for the company's Bronco CAP, which covers about 24,000 acres and 209 new wells. Oxy's was the first CAP to be approved by the Commission. During Oxy's November 2022 earnings call, President and CEO Vicky Holub said the COGCC's endorsement of the Bronco CAP paved the way for us to complete more than 200 new wells in Weld County over the next few years. Also, several drilling permit applications that had been pending for a period of time were recently approved, allowing us to add back a rig in the DJA Basin after reallocating one earlier this year. She added, "With the permits we have in hand and our expectations for future approval, we have enhanced our flexibility as we formulate our activity for 2023. Yet another indication that Colorado's new regulatory approach has been gaining favor among E&Ps came from Civitas Resources, which announced in November that the COGCC had approved Civitas's Box Elder CAP, which covers about 37,000 net acres straddling Adams and Arapahoe counties and the city of Aurora and 151 wells. And one more signal of the oil and gas industry's adaptation to Colorado's approach, in a January 10, 2023, press release summarizing its accomplishments regarding SB 181 implementation last year, the COGCC included a statement from Dan Haley, President and CEO of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, or COGA, an organization that understandably experienced some agita when SB 181 was being debated, approved, and signed into law. In the statement, Haley said, "Colorado now undoubtedly has the toughest oil and natural gas development regulations in the country, which further protect the environment and ensure that the molecules of energy produced here locally are cleaner than most anywhere in the world. All of Colorado can be proud of that." Surely there were many frustrating moments for COGA, DJA Basin E&Ps and others during the COGCC's years-long development of its new oil and gas rules, and during the Commission's months-long reviews of the first three CAPs the regulatory body has approved. Just as surely there are nits that many have to pick with elements of it all. Still, on balance, the new Colorado regulatory regime appears to give producers what they want most of all, a degree of certainty that enables them to plan with confidence. Energy industry players have told us again and again over the years that they can deal with governmental policies and regulations, even imperfect ones, but that it's nearly impossible for them to develop multi-year plans if there's a good chance the rules in place today will be revised or thrown out tomorrow. Everything's Gonna Be Alright was written by David Lee Murphy, Jimmy Urie, and Chris Stevens and appears as the third song on David Lee Murphy's fifth studio album, No Zip Code. The song is a duet with Kenny Chesney and was released as a single in November 2017. It went to number one on the Billboard Country Airplay Singles chart and has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. The tune featured a catchy sing-along chorus and a unique program percussion loop, which helped to make it Murphy's first number one single since Dust on the Bottle in 1995. It won a CMA Award for Musical Event of the Year in 2018. Personnel on the record were David Lee Murphy and Kenny Chesney, lead vocals, F. Reed Shipp and programming, Pat Buchanan, Tom Bukovats, J.T. Corenflos, Rob McNeely and Derek Wells, electric guitar, Kenny Greenberg, Justin Ostrander, Danny Radar, Dan Tominski and John Willis, acoustic guitar, Scotty Sanders, steel guitar, Chris Stevens, keyboards and programming, Mike Rojas, accordion, Hammond B3 organ, Wurlitzer electric piano and synthesizer, Mike Brignardello and Michael Rhodes bass, Chad Cromwell, drums, and Perry Coleman backing vocals. No Zip Code was recorded in Nashville on 2017-18 and produced by David Lee Murphy, Buddy Cannon, and Kenny Chesney. Released in April 2018, it went to number 35 on the Billboard Top Country Albums chart. One single was released from the LP. David Lee Murphy is an American country music singer and songwriter. He started his career in Nashville as a songwriter discovered by record producer Tony Brown in the mid-1980s. Murphy released his first single in 1994 and his debut album in 1995. He has released a total of 5 studio albums, 1 compilation album and 15 singles. Murphy still performs occasionally, but his main focus is songwriting. He has written or co-written hits for various artists, including Blake Shelton, Brooks and Dunn, Aaron Tippin, Jason Aldean, Gary Allen, and Kenny Chesney. Kenny Chesney is an American country music singer and songwriter. He has sold more than 30 million records worldwide and is one of the top drawing acts in country music. He signed his first publishing deal with Opryland Music Group in 1992 and released his debut studio album, In My Wildest Dreams, on Capricorn Records in 1994. He has released a total of 19 studio albums, 2 live albums, 5 compilation albums, and 70 singles. He has won 11 ACM awards and 12 CMA awards, and continues to record and tour.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.